Today on Older and Wiser.
It's a year away, but according to a new survey, the 2020 election is already stressing people out.
If you forget someone's name, are you too embarrassed to ask for it again? You'll be surprised how many people say, yep.
Also today, what do people really think about living in sin? And how sick is too sick to stay home from work?
You're listening to Older and Wiser. Hey everybody, I'm Bob Bates in Los Angeles, along with my good friend Susan Sikora up there in Petaluma. I'm about as stressed today as I can be, and I don't quite know why. I know I've had 2 cups of coffee, but it could also be the 2020 election. Let's get started with this first survey today. A majority of Americans already cite the 2020 election as a significant stressor in their lives.
Mm-hmm.
Surprised?
No, not at all. Are you kidding?
According to this survey, they surveyed 3,600 adults across the United States, and 56% of them said that the 2020 election is already a significant stressor in their lives. I feel like it's a constant pressure. I watch way too much cable news. Mm-hmm. I'm always sort of half thinking about it and worrying about it, and it's a dark cloud hanging over my head at all times.
Yeah. Well, first of all, it started so early, plus the fact that there's this constant tension going on again between both parties, with all the talk of impeachment and what went on. And by the time we get to this time next year, Election Day, in all honesty, it's a lot of this stuff is going to seem very insignificant, or at least you're going to say, why did we worry about that? We should have worried about this.
You know, I have lived a good 6 decades and a little more or less.
A little more.
And we've certainly witnessed other administrations come and go, and there have been stressful moments in history, of course. I don't recall, and I don't know whether it's my age that I'm not handling stress as well as I used to, or whether it's just that this is a new level of stress and concern for our government and our mm-hmm. our democracy. What do you think? Is it the worst thing ever?
Boy, I think it's different. And again, remember, when you and I look back on those other elections, we were younger. And obviously, everybody
That's
can
true.
Say that. But I mean, if you
no,
look
but
back
you're right, because we were younger because we had other more things in our lives that occupied our time. We couldn't spend all day thinking about politics.
I mean, it didn't really the issues didn't involve you as much when you were a child or even a young adult as when you got to voting age and older. And also, I think you've got to look at the economy. You get told the economy is great. It is for some people. When you and I had parents who bought houses years ago, I think my father's house was the first one they bought in New Jersey in a little suburb, and it was $13,000. They could put food on the table. They could raise their families. They could keep a roof over their heads. But now it's like you're afraid to even take time off because you're afraid when you come back, your job will be gone or something will be different or there'll be a new boss. And it matters only because everything is it feels more hand to mouth, I guess, is what I'm saying. At least from what when I talk to my friends, that's what they say.
Well, I agree in some respects. I mean, I do certainly think we think about the economy and all that. But I think the real thing that's stressing us out is the level of news discussion and the loudness and the scariness of it all. Facts begin coming out to indicate that what you thought was one way is not the way it is, and things are bad and something's got to be done, and the steady bedrock that we thought our country was sitting on is a little shaky, and everything's a little bit dangerous. And I think that can create a day-to-day stress in your life
mm-hmm.
that can wear on you over time and make you tired and ineffective at your job and create family problems and all sorts of things.
Yeah. Well, yeah. And like you said, the cable news outlets were not there and not as ramped up as they are now. This is being covered 24/7.
Yeah.
If back in the day, whether it was Nixon or you know, nobody sat there and watched and got an update every half hour or every hour. And sometimes it's not a real update, but it feels like one because everything is breaking news, everything's happening, breaking
news. And I feel obligated to watch them all. I feel obligated to check periodically what has happened. There must be new breaking news by now. It's been 2 hours. Someone else has done something horrible. And I, you know, I never used to worry about that. We would watch the news at 6 o'clock when we got home from work, and that was the first thing we heard.
One of the answers would be to certainly shut the TV off for a while and walk away and go do something else. Walk out the door, go take a walk, walk the dog, talk to your neighbor, have a cup of tea, call a friend. We talked about this in the past. Pick up the phone and call a friend and don't talk about politics.
Divert your attention to something else. Hey, here's something interesting. The election is proving to be more stressful for Democrats than Republicans by almost 25%, which I think is interesting. So that would indicate that Republicans are much less concerned about what's happening. And that's odd because their president is in the White House.
Well, first of all, they don't have to worry about who's going to run.
Well, I guess that's true.
They're not doing that. All they have to worry about is he going to win or not?
A few other things in this stress survey. 69% of adults point to health care as something that stresses them out. 71% cite mass shootings, which is a rise of almost 10% from last year's survey. So people
Well, because it seems like we have more of them. And again, cable news adds to that because when there is one, we hear about it 24/7. Not that we don't want to know. We do. But mass shootings are, I think, more common. And it's not like it's going to happen every day, but it feels as though everybody's vulnerable, you know?
54% of those surveyed said they want to stay informed, but that the news is stressful. 39% of respondents said they've taken steps over the past year to reduce their news consumption.
Yeah, and it's probably a useful thing to do. And I usually have one day a week where I go, I'm not going to watch this as much anymore. And I shut it off. And then, you know, that night or the next morning, I'm right back at it. So I don't know.
Okay, let's move on to our next topic. Here's a question for you. Do you ever ask someone a question and they answer it, and then a little bit later in the conversation, you realize you don't remember what they said, and you have to ask it again? Do you ever do that?
Sometimes I'll just say, you know, for example. I'm sorry, what did you say again?
Has that ever happened where someone's introduced themselves, and you introduce yourself, and within 30 seconds, you realize you don't remember what they just said?
And I love this topic. And let me tell you why. I have figured this out.
Okay.
Here we go.
How do you do it? What do you do? What's your trick?
First of all, I realize that it's more uncomfortable for me to get through however long is coming after I realize I don't know this person's name if I don't ask. If I ask, it's a moment where I say, I'm sorry, tell me your name again.
Yeah.
And you know what?
It's quick
Nobody
and easy.
Nobody goes, what? You don't know my name? Get out of here. I'm not going to talk to you. It never happens. Okay.
And you're absolutely right. You got to admit to it right up front. Get to it as early in the conversation as possible.
The earlier you ask, the easier it is because then you have a more comfortable conversation because your mind is not thinking, who is this? Who is this? You're thinking, who the hell is this? And you don't have it.
A study of 2,000 adults found almost a fifth of people consider themselves too polite to ask someone a question more than once. A fifth. So a fifth of people would just walk around and not know your name. 35% feel it's rude to ask for instructions to be repeated. So if someone says, go pick up my dry cleaning and then go do this and do something else, and you didn't catch it all, you feel like it's rude or it makes you look stupid to ask again.
I've gotten over those. You know what? If you have forgotten, if somebody says to you, go home to your computer and here's how you clean it off. You do this, you do that, I'm sorry, tell me this again.
Tell me this again. No, it's better. I think as you get older, you get more confident with that, though.
I
really do. I think younger people are less confident in that. 3 in 10 admit they are rarely able to follow orders and commands if given only once. I think that's kind of true. It's hard to get it all at once unless you're writing it down.
I'm notoriously bad at that. If you give me a list of 5 things to do already, by number 3, I have to have you repeat it. But
it's for them to know that you're trying to confirm that you got it right and you're willing to do it.
Yes. I think this is a false sense of politeness winning out over what the connection or the communication should be.
Yeah. What's interesting is I believe this survey was actually done originally in Great Britain. And there is a sense among Brits that they suffer from too much politeness, that that it's a British trait that they apologize too much and they're overly polite and they...
Is that still true?
This is what British people think about themselves. Yeah, according to the survey, they seem to feel that, that is one of their traits.
Well, maybe.
All right, here we go. Here's our next topic. This one from an article in Time magazine. More people think it's fine for unwed couples to live together. Well, yeah. What's wrong with that? According to this new survey, only a small minority of people now see unwed couples living together as anything to get upset about. Well, I wouldn't have guessed otherwise.
Yeah.
The number of Americans who are currently married, 53%, completely dwarfs the number of unmarried people who currently live together, 7%. So even though it's totally cool to live together out of wedlock, most people like to get married. 53% like to get married compared to 7% who just live together.
Mm-hmm.
Surprised?
No, and I think more people probably agree that this is a good idea. And I have to say, if you are...
You mean marriage is a good idea?
I mean, no. I mean, living together before getting married.
Oh, yeah.
And I'll tell you why. And I'm not talking just about sex. I'm talking about the little things that over a period of time will drive you cuckoo, okay?
Toilet seat, that's your main one.
Well, the toilet seat, the dripping faucet, leaving your underwear on the floor.
Okay, here we go.
Leaving the dirty, all that
stuff. Let's get out the scroll with all of Susan's grievances.
No, that's not the point. I mean, you can have that on either side. The point is, the day-to-day living together, there's little things that, they're going to happen all the time.
Yeah.
Okay.
Might as well know in advance, right?
Nobody's having sex.
But I think the point is, do you think at some point you should go ahead and get married? Or is it perfectly okay to just continue to live with that person until you both get old and just stay living together?
It depends on the two people involved. I don't think this is a one-size-fits-all thing. I think some people should live together so that they realize at the end of it, you know what? This is not working out. How long have you and your wife been married?
30 years.
Okay. I'm going to bet you're different people now than you were on the wedding day 30 years ago.
Yes, of course.
If you weren't, I would worry about what are the other of you. And if both of you hadn't changed, that would be very strange. And you'd probably have to stay together because you'd have no other friends. But you know what? I'm telling you, Bob, seriously, you change, you grow, you develop interests, you have other friends. Some of my new friends, he's not going to like. Some of his new acquaintances or what he's going to do with his spare time, I have no interest.
So how does this relate? Well, I mean, what are you feeling about living together out of wedlock? Yes or no?
Excuse me, one second.
Was that Benson? Your cat in the background?
Yeah.
He said, cats don't get married and we're just fine. That was what he was trying to say.
He said, I just took a poop. Could you please scoop that in?
Okay.
I don't want to.
Thanks for that information.
There you go. All right.
Let's move on with this. According to this, a quarter of cohabitators said they moved in together partly to test the waters for marrying each other. I get that.
Yeah.
More than a third, 38%, shared an address, partly because it made financial sense, obviously. And that makes sense when you're married, too, for financial reasons. 36% of Americans and 34% of those living together are satisfied with their sex lives. So slightly more people who are married people seem to be a little more satisfied with their sex lives than those who are not married, which is just the reverse of what you would expect. 56% of married partners believe their partners could be trusted to handle money, while only 40% of cohabitators felt the same way. So if you're really trusting someone, you marry them. If you're not so sure, maybe you just cohabitate.
So they're saying that less people who live together trust the partner with money?
Yeah. Or any
because they found out things. They can't handle it. Maybe.
In all things, yeah. When you're married, you tend to trust your partner more in deeper ways than someone who you're not married to. Which is interesting. I suppose there's all, and on one side or the other, one of those people wants to get married more than the other, I'll bet you. And they're not equally committed to this idea of not getting married. So they one or the other suspects that the other might leave one day, and that is a barrier to trust.
I think all of this, when you're living together before you're married, all of this will more likely come up in conversation. And I think if your goal is to just get married, then you're putting your best foot forward, and that's all you want to do. And then once you walk down the aisle, then too bad, you're stuck with me. Here's all my bad habits.
Here we go.
I mean, you know, it's like
you
test driving a car, I guess, in a way, which is probably a pretty crude analogy. But the truth is, you wouldn't go buy a brand new car and put out all that money and figure you're going to have this thing for 20 or 30 years if you want to get your money's worth out of it, if you know it's not going to last, or if the seat is uncomfortable.
Listen, most seats are uncomfortable. On that topic, let's move on to our next. A shocking number of Americans say they always come to work sick. In other words, not like every day they're sick, but if they are sick, they go to work one way or another, regardless of whether they feel like they probably should stay home. This survey was from Account Temps. 90% of employees have at one time or another come to work sick. You've gone to work sick, haven't you? I have. We all shove on through, right? You got a cold.
I wouldn't go with the flu, but you might go with a cold thinking, well, that's not serious, although it could be for somebody else. And also it can rip right through the whole, you know, staff if you're touching everything and they're touching everything. And you know, I it's stupid.
I think there's a lot of pressure to not call in sick. In many companies' cultures, you look weak, or you look sort of like you could be lying about how sick you are to get out of work. So people are afraid that they're going to be perceived as a liar. So they come to work to show everybody how sick they are and how dedicated to the job they are. 33% said they always go to work when they're ill.
And you know what everybody's thinking? They're not thinking, wow, you really dragged yourself in. They're thinking, oh, geez, I hope I don't get that. Stay away from me.
I know. Exactly.
It's
stupid. You just want them to leave. Why are you here? I could be getting what you've got. I don't
want it. Do you want one person? You don't want anybody to get sick. But if one person gets the flu, do you want the whole office to get it at various times until it goes through? I mean, that's going to affect productivity.
So why do people do it? Well, 54% said they do it because they've got too much work to do. I don't know. 40%.
What are you getting done if you're sick?
Well, and are you as important as you think you are? In other words, they got along without you before they hired you. Maybe they could get along without you, you know, now.
You don't want them to find that out, even though you think they don't know.
Well, that's right. You don't want them to find out. That's the key. 40% said they don't want to use their sick time. So a lot of companies give you a certain number of sick days.
Yes.
And then if you don't use them, you kind of use them for fun things. So you're supposed to use them when you're sick, not just to go do something fun.
There's a solution for that.
What, no sick days?
No, more sick days.
Oh,
or
more sick days.
A couple of sick days and a couple of mental health days, if that's what they used to call it that, when somebody said, I just don't want to go into work today.
Surprisingly, millennials are most likely to report always going to work at 39%. While other age groups reported working while unwell at only 25%. So it's these millennials who power through and go to work sick. I am surprised, because I would have thought the millennial culture would be sort of just the opposite. They're the ones that have the skateboard ramps in their
boomer
offices. You know what I mean? They're the ones that hang
boomer
out with their headphones. A boomer. I'm
okay,
a boomer.
Boomer.
Yeah.
You're judging them. I have to say, I think I'm not surprised that they're coming to work, because they're probably afraid of losing their jobs, which are scarce right now. We had it better when we got out of school. We had it better when we entered the workplace. There were more opportunities. Things were not as extreme again. And because these millennials, some of them, if they are out of college, they've got huge college debts to pay off. They don't want to lose the job.
Well, I think I would like to call into work just because I'm stressed or I'm thinking about the election. That would be a good reason to call in sick.
Hey, and that would be your last day.
That would be my last day at work.
Your going away party.
Susan, we're out of time for today. As we leave, we always ask you, what is your thought for the day? Something to kind of give us inspiration. What is Susan's inspirational thought for today?
If you're feeling sick, stay the heck home.
And on that note, we say adieu, adieu, and we thank you for joining us today for all the stuff that matters when you're 50 plus. Be sure and visit us at olderandwiser.com. We'll see you next time.
Bye.